cancer syndrome and wants to test the artifact. The museum is expected to decide next month. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Not just Euros at 141 East 4th Street in Loveland takes this time to remind all drivers to drive carefully and cautiously. Drive as though your life depends upon it, because a child's life often does. When you take to the road, take along the three C's of safety: caution, courtesy, and above all, common sense. Remember, drivers don't drink and drive. Let's keep our children safe from harm. That's from Terry Madigan and her fine family and staff at Not Just Euros at 141 East 4th Street in Loveland. Call 663-9594. That's 663-9594.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
For over 15 years, K&K Premium Carpet and Upholstery Care has provided not just clean carpet, but a healthy carpet. Bonded and insured, K&K has brought quality care to your home with a proven safe truck-mounted hot water extraction process that is pH-balanced, allergen-free, and safe for the environment. Tile, grout, heat transfers, and water damage care also available. For your free estimate, call K&K Premium Carpet and Upholstery, 303-237-4655. Ask about the KHNC discount on your first cleaning. That's 303-237-GO-KK.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and I wanted to open this morning by commenting on last night's 60 Minutes program. The significant one was, of course, of the danger of gun shows. How we have to do something. All these people across America, violent shootings, mass murders. You know, what we need is gun control. What we need to do is take away assault weapons. Ladies and gentlemen, assault weapons are automatic weapons, and not semi-automatic weapons. And yes, they use that term over and over and over again to make you think that anybody with a semi-automatic weapon, they've been around for 100 years, used routinely in hunting, all of these are assault weapons. Anything with a magazine can contain 5 or 6 shells or 10 shells in it, all automatically an assault weapon, and they're not assault weapons, and they know that, but repeating a lie often enough, it comes to be believed. And then, of course, the idea that somehow if we could just took the guns away from the law-abiding citizen, so the only people who had guns were the police and the military, that we would have a safer society. And ladies and gentlemen, whenever you do that, it's a prelude to dictatorship, and they know what they're doing. Last night they had Dianne Feinstein, who, when she was the mayor of San Francisco, insisted on having a gun permit to protect herself, and she carried a gun. But she doesn't want you to carry a gun. She doesn't want you to have any protection. She's, of course, a member of the Trilateral Commission. She's a member of the elite, and she's pushing gun control. And, ladies and gentlemen, there is an organized effort. That program last night was to get the American people behind gun control. We've got to do something. Basically, they talk about Virginia Tech, and the young man was on these psychotropic drugs that make people, you know, go entirely mad and become, most of the people involved, you know, with these mass shootings have been on these psychotropic drugs that create either suicide or homicide, and they know that, but they're not going to tell the American people that. I mean, and what they do is they stress the terror, the horror of you know, gun, you know, murders, mass murders on school campuses. But they never said that if somebody had been there with a gun and they could have stopped the murderer, why, of course, all this wouldn't have happened. If the people are armed with weapons, why you will not see these mass murders. That's why they make every school in the United States a shooting gallery for Rennie cycle. And then, of course, you have to understand the spiritual forces that are at work. And if you haven't heard my interviews with Russ Dizdorf on the Black Awakening that's coming, when so many of these people have been programmed by the CIA or by satanic cults, are given the order to go out and begin committing mass mayhem. That's why people are buying guns today. They sense something is seriously wrong, and they should. And you're going to have to be able to defend yourself and your family, because we're moving into a period of chaos and crisis, because we've turned our back on our Constitution. We've turned our back on these concepts of limiting the power of government, and the people in government hate the Constitution, and specifically they hate the Second Amendment. And let's get now to our special guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney, who's going to talk to us about our Constitution, which guarantees every American in the Second Amendment the right to keep and bear arms. Why? To protect us from, well, from psychopaths, but also to protect us from government. David, thanks so much for being
with us.
Good
morning, Dr. Stan. Yes, and actually the most dangerous assault weapon anywhere is the assault that these government officials and elected officials are conducting against our God-given right to keep and bear arms, our God-given right to self-defense. People ought to see it that way. Oh, yes, weapons are dangerous, but the most dangerous weapon is an assault on your Second Amendment rights, far more dangerous than anything else. And
you notice how on all of the television programs they show you, you know, when the police come to serve a warrant, they right there, they knock once, and then they break down the door and they rush in with their guns and they throw people onto the ground. And you know, all this is to intimidate people.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they immediately handcuff people when they arrest them? Why, of course, to frighten people? I mean, you would become totally helpless. You could even be going down, you know, giving yourself up. They'll still handcuff you to dehumanize you. That's why we have one in every 33 adults in the United States is in prison, probation, or parole. We're moving towards a police state because we've turned our back on our God-given rights under our Constitution. David, I'll be quiet. You go ahead.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. But our founders, they understood this by personal experience with the tyranny of King George III. And he was impressing sailors on the high seas, that is, American citizens who, after the War for Independence, were being hijacked or shanghaied, whatever you want to call it, on the high seas and forced into the military of the British Navy. And this was another example of the kind of egregious, tyrannical powers that the King of England was exercising, that our founders wanted to be absolutely certain that the government they were crafting and creating had limited, delegated, enumerated powers, only those powers that we, the people, had delegated to our government was the government to have. And of course, they knew you'd never let the government define the limits or the extent of its powers. No, if you did that, you'd wind up with the same tyranny as King George III. If that's what's happened today, the people have backed off, the people have let the chains come off the governing class, and the governing class has therefore been determining what their powers are, which have become extremely tyrannical. Well, last time we were together, we were discussing what took place during the Constitutional Convention. Let me just wrap up some of the details there. They began meeting in May, but early in June, the convention degenerated into all kinds of discord, disagreements about all sorts of issues, the large states against the small states, and so many different disagreements that Benjamin Franklin stood, and he called in a very, very emotional statement. He called for prayer. He said that when they met in that same room in Philadelphia during the War for Independence, they had called upon God, and God had answered their prayers as all of them knew. And they needed to call on God now, because in this strife and discord, they were not going to produce a good form of government unless they called upon the Most High, which actually his motion did not carry in the sense of calling in a chaplain, which is what he specifically called for. But it did result in people gathering together to pray, small groups, and the entire tone of the convention changed as they turned to the Lord God Almighty and pled with Him for wisdom, direction, and harmony, as opposed to the kind of discord that they had been experiencing. Well, in the closing days of the convention, towards the end of July, a committee on detail was appointed to work out the details of that, and then a committee on details presented.
Hold that, David. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Sterling Diesel Service reminds us that safety on the job is job one. Knowledge of the job, sobriety, and awareness are qualities we all count on in our fellow employees and employers. Keep the workplace and job site safe for yourself, your coworkers, and the clientele you serve. This message was courtesy of the folks who care at Sterling Diesel Service. They say our area is a great place to live, work, shop, and raise our families, and they're doing their part to keep it that way. That's Sterling Diesel Service in Sterling, where they're always concerned for the safety and welfare of our community.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, David Whitney, Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. Please pick up the story.
Well, as the Committee on Details presented their report to the delegates on the beginning of August, August 6th, they spent about a month working out the final draft, refining it until the 8th of September, in which at that point they appointed a committee on style. That is, they'd worked out the substance. Now it was just a matter of some wording stylistic changes, and that style committee met. Governor Morris did the most of the writing of the final draft, which was presented on September 12th, and the convention considered it and proceeded to adopt it with just a very few minor changes on September 15th. It was 2 days later, on September 17th, that they signed the Constitution. The majority from each state signed, but there were three delegates that did not: Elbridge Gerry of Massachusetts, George Mason, and Edmund Randolph of Virginia. Randolph later changed his mind and supported the Constitution, but Luther Martin from Maryland actually signed, and later he opposed the Constitution. So there was even a bit of debate there at the very close of the convention among some of those who were actual delegates to the convention. But the vast majority, and the majority obviously from every state except Rhode Island, which was never represented, a majority from all the other 12 states all supported the Constitution hands down. Now, as the delegates signed the Constitution, Ben Franklin spoke, and he said he had been observing the back of the chair where President Washington, not president of our country, but president of the Constitutional Convention, was seated. And I've seen that chair in Philadelphia in Independence Hall, and it has a etching of the sun on the back of the chair. And Franklin said, "I've often, over the course of the session and the vicissitudes of my hopes and fears as to its issue, looked at that chair behind the president without being able to tell whether it was a rising or setting sun. But now, at length, I have happiness to know that it is a rising, not a setting sun." And so, with great hope, he and the others brought that Constitution to their home states to begin the ratification process. Now, it's interesting, on the way out of the convention, a lady, we don't know exactly who her name is, but she asked Benjamin Franklin, "What sort of government have you given us, Mr. Franklin?" His reply to her: "Ma'am, we have given you a constitutional republic, if you can keep it. very telling words, because Franklin and the other delegates all understood the Constitution would not work if the people simply went to sleep and pretended that their government would operate on autopilot and automatically do these things. They knew unless there was eternal vigilance on the part of the citizens to watch their elected officials, to hold their feet to the fire, which of course means that the populace, the citizens who actually vote, know the Constitution, understand its provisions, understand its limitations on their government, and demand that those limitations be followed. And Dr. Stan, that's exactly where our Constitution has fallen down. It's not that our Constitution is flawed. It's that the people have stopped learning it. Of course, we know our public, whatever you want to call it, system of miseducation does a masterful job in hiding the truth of what our country is all about from the poor students who are going through that system.
But, David, I think it's so vitally important that people understand this did not happen by accident.
Mm-hmm.
There was an organized effort on the part of the great tax-exempt foundations, Rockefeller, Carnegie, and Ford, to change our educational system, to change our textbooks, to change the thrust of what our children were taught, so that they would not understand the difference between a republic and a democracy, so they would honestly believe what our political leaders tell us and what the mass media tells us and what our books and textbooks tell us, and that we are a democracy, and whatever the majority of people want, that's what we can do. Because, of course, they know that will end in tyranny. Plato described this. He said, democracies always degenerate into despotism. Democracies always degenerate into despotism. Our founding fathers did not want a democracy. So why are they teaching that in school? It is because they want a despotism. There really are people working within the Great Tax Exempt Foundation. That's covered in the book we've kept in print, Foundations, Their Power and Influence. Go right ahead.
And so, as our founders knew, if the people did not know the Constitution themselves and understand and apply it, that is, when they voted, when they spoke to their representatives, when they chose a president, if the people did not know these things, then they would not be able to preserve that constitutional republic that they had crafted and labored long in that summer of 1787 there in Philadelphia. Now, when they returned to their states, each of the states held a ratification debate that took place with a possibility of turning down the Constitution, and this is an important thing to understand. You see, no state was forced to join this Constitution. All 13 states independently could have remained under the Articles of Confederation, or they could have seceded from the Articles of Confederation and done something else, even been an independent nation of their own without any connection to the other 13 countries, the other 13 states, or they could have joined this new constitutional convention. And in the ratification debates, as the ratification moved forward, the word federalism is important to understand. What does it mean to be a federalist society? It's federalism simply means sharing power between the federal and state governments. It was never to be what we have today, where the state governments are basically political subdivisions of the federal monster. That's not the way it was ever designed to be, that there would be sharing of power, the Constitution defining the limited powers granted to the federal government. And you see in the 9th and 10th Amendment of the Bill of Rights, which were subsequently ratified, that it was very clear they wanted to be certain that anything not granted to the federal government in its powers described by the Constitution was reserved to the states or to the people, that there was no unlimited grant of power to the federal government. But the current tyrants in power today have just made their own interpretation of what their powers are. The president signs all kinds of edicts and executive orders, and the Supreme Court violates the Constitution left and right, violates its role that was supposed to be limited in the Congress as well. All of these things were not part of the design. They are a violation of that design. And so in the ratification debates, those who were supporters of the Constitution, they called themselves Federalists, and three of them wrote what came to be known as the Federalist Papers, arguments why the Constitution should be ratified, and that was Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, and John Jay. And those are a valuable read if you want to understand the mind of our founders and what they designed the Constitution to do. It's extremely important to read those. For example, Article 45 of the Federalist Papers clearly states that the federal government was to have very limited powers, only dealing with external things such as going to war with another nation, forming treaties with other nations, trade with nations. Only external things would be the job of the federal government. But the powers of the state governments were to be almost unlimited by contrast with the limited powers of the federal government. So you read that in Federalist 45 and you say, wait a minute, if our founders were here today, they would be terribly, terribly upset that it's been turned on its head. What they designed has been violated in every way, shape, and form. Well, the term federalism was a popular term, and of course they had the advantage of having intimate knowledge with the Constitution, and they could argue its points because they had been part of the convention, where the anti-federalists, that is, those who opposed the Constitution, they didn't have that opportunity to see what the Constitution contained until September 17th of 1887. And the anti-federalists had the following arguments, and it's very interesting to listen to these arguments because you'll see today what the anti-federalists were warning of has come to pass. And many people would argue, well, it's come to pass because there was a flaw in the Constitution. No, it has not come to pass because of a flaw in the Constitution. It's come to pass because the people have not held on to the Republican constitutional government designed by our founders. They've let the tyrants twist it, change it, and reshape it into something completely different than what our founders designed. First, the anti-federalists argued that Congress had authorized the convention only to revise the Articles of Confederation, not to create a new constitution. That is true, but we must realize, because the articles could only be revised if all 13 states unanimously agreed to revise them, and Rhode Island, one of the 13 states, never participated in the convention at all, so they knew when they met they could not possibly revise the Articles of Confederation successfully. What they did, however, is propose an entirely new government. And while they hadn't been granted this authority to do that, they had no authority to enforce their design on anyone. Like I said, any or all of the 13 states could have stayed out of this new design altogether and said, no, we don't want to do that. But the states and the power invested in each state by the people as they elected their state representatives, that state could choose to do whatever it wanted. It could leave the Articles of Confederation, it could join the Constitution and the other states doing that, or it could remain on its own as its own nation because the sovereignty of the states was absolute. They could do whatever they chose. So this argument really falls on its face. Yes, they did something not authorized by Congress, but they had no other option, and ultimately the states were the ones that got to choose whether this new constitution was actually going to be ratified or not. Now, the other argument for the anti-federalists is the few defects there in the Articles of Confederation could be corrected by, you know, just a few amendments. Well, again, this idea falls flat on its face because you couldn't get Rhode Island to participate, and unless you had unanimous participation, no amendments would be possible. The third argument, and this is a very important one, one that was heard and one that rightly was acted upon, it's that there was a lack of Bill of Rights in this new constitution. Of course, the argument from Hamilton and others was, well, you don't need a Bill of Rights because we've spelled out the only things the federal government is permitted to do. It can only do these three things, X, Y, and Z, only the list of 18 things in Article 1, Section 8. It can do nothing but what it's granted to. So, of course, it can't have anything to say about religion, or it can't do anything to limit the freedom of the press or freedom of speech. Those things are off the table because we've never even granted any of those powers to the federal government. But the anti-federalists were very strong, and I believe they were correct in this, that a Bill of Rights was absolutely necessary to be sure that the tyrannical powers potentially in any government were circumvented, and they were spelled out on paper, they were written down, and they were ratified. So a Bill of Rights, many of the states ratified the Constitution only with a prior agreement that a Bill of Rights would be the very first thing that Congress took up. And that's exactly what Congress did, and presented the Bill of Rights that ultimately was ratified as well. The fourth argument was that a republic could only succeed in a small nation, that large nations needed to be a loose confederation to remain republican. And they were basing these arguments from Baron Charles Montesquieu, a great thinker along these lines, and perhaps he's right. We have become a very large nation geographically, a large nation in terms of population, and they may have a very good point here that a republic will not work on that basis, because what happens is the populace, as it grows larger, is represented by fewer and fewer people in Congress. Today, the average congressman, I guess, has a constituency of somewhere over 300,000 people that he's represented. Now, if all those 300,000 people were actively communicating with their congressman, the congressman couldn't possibly process all the emails, faxes, phone calls, and so forth on issues that his constituents wanted him to hear about. So I think there is a point to be made here that perhaps a smaller, if it had remained a smaller republic, it might have functioned better as a republic because the representatives would more closely be representing their actual constituents. Well, in the case like today, in terms of senators, we know they rarely represent anything that their constituents want. I was just reading a response by my senator over a whole bunch of rotten stuff on the illegal immigration that she's all for giving amnesty to all these crooks and so forth. But, you know, she doesn't represent the population of Maryland. She does whatever she pleases, and she knows she doesn't have to answer to the people.
That's you see, right. I think it's so important for our listeners to understand that when they devised the Constitution, the senators were to be answerable to the state and the state legislature because they were elected by the state legislature, not by the people. The founders realized that if the senators would be elected by the people, then, of course, they would soon be responsive to the people who gave them the most money to get reelected. And the whole idea was to keep the power of the Senate away from the public, away from the bankers, away from the financiers. And, of course, the senator was to represent the states, the rights of the people in the states, who are responsive of the state legislature, and if the state legislature, you know, appointed a turkey to be the senator, they would get rid of him because he would not represent the state as a special interest. So we'll be back in just a moment here. The American in Number.
Hi, this is Phil with WolfAutoGroup.com. We sell new, used trucks, cars, ATVs. We love to barter, horse trade. You know, your valuable things for ours. We also have many willing lenders to finance any difference left over to make your payoff on your automobile. Try us. We will trade for your valuable goods. WolfAutoGroup.com. Local number 303-931-9096. Talk to Mr. Wolf personally for the best location to serve you. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling. Or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Parents, remind your young adults during spring graduation and prom season, the pressure and excitement becomes much greater and the likelihood of misusing or abusing drugs and alcohol increase. This year, practice moderation and common sense, especially behind the wheel and on our roads and highways. Remember, the life you save may be your own. A strong and safe community begins with the involvement and integrity of its people. This message was brought to you by the folks who care at Sykes Enterprises Incorporated, where they realize our children are our future and the future is worth protecting. That's Sykes Enterprises, located in Sterling.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. And David, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your organization, how they can get a program to offer to their friends and to teach them the Constitution, how they can get up on the Internet and take the course themselves, and then, of course, you know, what they can do to support your organization.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Yes, we have developed a course that basically walks through what we're talking about here on the air, and it's a 12-session course, half-hour lectures by constitutional law professor John Eismo, and two lectures by David Barton dealing with the myth of the wall of separation between church and state, and that also contains everything you need to conduct this course. Contains a student manual and a host manual that gives you instructions of how to conduct the course, as well as two posters that illustrate the difference between the biblical government that was designed by our founders and the pagan model of government that's being followed today. That host kit you could avail yourself of either by going online and ordering it, and our website at Institute on the Constitution is iotconline.com. That website, again, for Institute on the Constitution is iotconline.com. And people can purchase a host kit there, or they could actually take the course online if they have broadband streaming so that they could stream the lectures and watch them online. You could see the button for that on the first page right at the top. There's a button for purchasing a host kit or a button to sign up and take the online course. And we're encouraged as people across the country are conducting classes in their churches, some doing it in their homes or in a community center or a library, that this is what Franklin said. We would only have a republic if we could keep it. And we can only keep it if we know the documents ourselves and understand what our founders designed our government to be. And then we teach as many people as possible in our circle of influence to understand those documents as well. And so this host kit is designed really as a turnkey way to do it. You don't need any background as an attorney or a history student. You just take the course yourself, and you can begin showing and helping others grasp this material as well. In addition to that, there's many resources we have in our bookstore. We have First Friday lectures that have various subjects. For example, Herb Titus was with us just last month, or the beginning of this month, speaking about the phrase in the Constitution, natural-born citizen, what it means, and so on. Very fascinating discussion. So those First Friday lectures are also available in our bookstore. If you go online, you can avail yourselves of those. And also, if you want to not use the online, but you want to order a host kit by phone, please call us toll-free at Institute on the Constitution. Our toll-free number is 866-730-9796. That toll-free number again for Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. And we're excited as people across the country are catching an understanding of what our Constitution truly says about what the federal government is supposed to do, and then seeing the dramatic contrast in what the federal government is actually doing and raising up enough citizens to put the people out of office who are tyrannically abusing our God-given rights and violating the oath that they took before Almighty God to uphold and defend and follow and obey the Constitution. Well, getting back to some of the arguments that the anti-federalists held, and I said some of these arguments do have some credence. Perhaps the size of the government or the size of our country is going to be too large to manage a truly Republican system. One of the arguments that followed that was that there would be not enough representatives in Congress and no guarantee of reapportionment. So again, they felt that the ability of the representatives to actually represent their constituents was not going to work effectively. Now, they also said that an objection they had was that Congress itself was in control of both the Treasury and the military. And they thought this is a dangerous thing if we let Congress control the spending as well as control the military. But in a sense, the only control Congress had of the military in our Constitution's design was to call for war, not to conduct a war. The war was to be conducted by the commander-in-chief, the president, not by the Congress themselves. They were not to micromanage the war. They were just to call for war when situations of attack and invasion took place. The final objection they had, and this one's a very powerful one, they objected because they believed judicial review could be very dangerous. In other words, they looked at the structure of the Supreme Court and said, potentially the Supreme Court could be extremely dangerous because it could establish itself as the ultimate tribunal to determine what is constitutional and what is not constitutional. And that's indeed what we have seen take place. And it is a terribly unsafe thing, but that was not the design of the Constitution. The design of the Constitution was three equal branches of government. Each branch was to serve as a check and balance against the other. No branch was over the others, nor was any branch to be the final arbiter of what is constitutional. And we see this worked out in history. Jefferson basically saying to the Supreme Court, oh, you go ahead and make your decisions, but come on over here. You can't enforce them. I'm the enforcement branch, and I'm not going to enforce your decisions. And we see that with Abraham Lincoln and Dred Scott cases. So there's a number of ways in which history has shown, at least early in the history of our republic, that we had three equal branches of government. So I think although the anti-federalists had a powerful argument here, the argument was not in the lack of the structure of our Constitution. The argument was really based upon their knowledge of human nature. They knew human nature would tend to abuse this Constitution and try to form a government different from what the Constitution was designed. And indeed, history has shown that is what has happened. But we can take our country back. We can restore the Constitutional Republic if we begin to understand what it means, and then if we also force those who are our representatives in Congress and the Senate to do so. So as the constitutional ratification debates and conventions took place from state to state, Delaware was the very first to ratify it, December of that same year, 1787. 6 days later, Pennsylvania ratified it, and then New Jersey ratified it later in December as well. And then Georgia ratified it. So there was a very quick succession of five states before the end of the year 1787 that ratified the Constitution. In the new year, 1788, Connecticut ratified it in the February of that year, Massachusetts, Maryland in April of that year. And you need to understand some of the reasons for these late dates are not that it took them so long, is that the date of their convention to debate and to determine ratification was different from state to state. After Maryland did in April, the following month South Carolina ratified it, and then, most significantly, in June of 1788, June 21st, New Hampshire ratified it. And because, as we'll see when we look at the ratification part of the Constitution, it took nine states to ratify. As soon as New Hampshire ratified it, June 21st, 1788, the Constitution took effect for those nine states that had ratified. Again, this is a very important principle to remember. The states are sovereign. The states, these nine states, chose to join this new government, the new government designed under the Constitution. The remaining four states could have done whatever they chose. They could have remained under the Articles of Confederation, which at least for a period of time they did, or they could have chosen to separate from the Articles of Confederation altogether and been their own independent countries. The states were sovereign. The states could choose what to do.
We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney here at the American Freedom Network.
This is George Flynn. For several years, I was privileged to host the Words of Freedom show here on KHNC. If you've been wanting a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit or non-resident Utah or Florida permit, please note that I've been a firearms instructor since the 1970s and currently conduct concealed carry classes under the banner of Self Defense Guns. Please visit our website, selfdefenseguns.com, or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found BioSuperfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural BioSuperfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
You may not plant a quarter million acres every season or 10-50,000 head of cattle, but it's good to know that your equipment could. Tartar Farm and Ranch equipment is used and trusted by pros because it's built by pros, using more than 60 years of know-how and the industry's most durable finishes. From farming and cattle handling to goat and equine management, don't trust anything less. To find a farm and ranch store near you, visit tartargate.com. Tartar. Working harder since 1945.
Your brother has it, your co-workers have it, and your friends have it. You need to get your concealed weapons permit, too. Go to www.theshootingschool.org and sign up now for the NRA basic pistol class to get your Colorado concealed carry permit. Unlike most instructors, we provide you with enough certificates to renew your carry permit for 10 years. Visit theshootingschool.org now to register or call Senior Instructor Dennis Young at 303-478-8121. That's Dennis Young at 303-478-8121. www.theshootingschool.org.
Well, Dr. Stan back here. This is the last segment. Pastor, go ahead, pick up the story.
So when New Hampshire ratified the Constitution on the 21st of 1788 in June of that year, the Constitution took effect for those nine states and those nine states only. They formed the new government. The other four states were still part of the Articles of Confederation until they made their decision, and they were all sovereign, independent states and could choose to join this new union, or they could choose to stay out of this union, which implies, because as our Ninth and Tenth Amendment clearly state, if the Constitution has not granted a specific power to the federal government, then those powers are reserved to the states, that the states have the right to join the union or to leave the union at any time. And that was a point that was being contested that led to the war, I like to call it the war to prevent Southern independence, when they said, we had a right to come into this union, we had the sovereign choice to do that, we have the sovereign choice to leave this union as well. Well, very shortly after that, just 5 days later, Virginia ratified it, and Virginia was one of the big areas of debate, because Virginia was, at that time, one of the largest states and most influential states. I mean, all of the significant founders you think of that come first to your mind, Washington and Jefferson and Madison, they all came from Virginia. So the fact that Virginia weighed in just 5 days later after New Hampshire, and on that that day as well, New York was the other big significant player here that people were very careful watching, because that was the state in which the Federalist Papers were written. The debate taking place in New York was intense, and it finally went in the way just by three votes. Three votes is all it took to ratify it in New York. And so right away you had 11 states that were part of the Constitution. Now, it's interesting to see what happened then. North Carolina and Rhode Island were independent. They were on their own. They were part of the Articles of Confederation at that point in time. And it wasn't until November of the following year, 1789, that North Carolina ratified it. And even the year after that, May of 1790, that Rhode Island ultimately ratified it. I think Rhode Island realized, and probably looking at the trade advantages of being in the Union under the Constitution, that there was more advantages to be in it and more protection for them in it as a trading partner with the other states than to be outside of it. Then it would be treated as a foreign nation and would have to, you know, form a trade alliance based as a foreign nation. They realized, oh, it's far better if we're in than out of the Constitution. So it's an interesting history to look at that and to even read the Anti-Federalist articles, and I've read a number of them, and they present some very powerful and very good arguments and warnings, like I say, that I think are based upon their knowledge of human nature, that there's no perfect human government. Why? Because sinful human beings are those who are entrusted with power, and you can never trust them at all. You've got to bind them down, as Jefferson said, with the chains of the Constitution. You've got to watch them and be certain that they don't violate and don't take those chains off of themselves. And unless the people do that, unless the people believe human nature is fallen and depraved and you're not to trust anyone with any power, unless you understand that and believe that and act upon it, not to trust your elected officials, but to watch them every inch of the way, then tyranny will result instead of liberty. Well, let's go just briefly here with the moments we have left to the preamble of the Constitution itself. We the people. It shows that government powers derive from consent of the governed. And it's interesting to see in the once the ratification, or actually the Constitutional Convention notes were out, that this phrase was debated, we the people. Because originally the idea was, well, we the states, and they actually listed all 13 states, and they realized, well, wait a minute, we can't assume that these states are going to ratify the Constitution, therefore we cannot say each of these states is going to ultimately ratify it, and therefore when they say we the people, that is, we the people represented through our state governments. Again, the state governments played a very significant and powerful role. And we the people also shows that the framers' view was one of covenantal, contractual nature of government authority. Government has no authority whatsoever except what we the people grant to it. That is what we the people grant to our state governments and what we the people collectively through our state governments granted to the federal government. The state governments and the federal governments have no powers, but those powers we the people have covenanted to grant to them. Again, that's a loss of conception, I think, in most Americans' minds. They think, well, government is what it is, and it does what it does by its own power. No, it only can do legally, legitimately, what we the people grant it the power to do. We the people, in order to, and then it goes on to give a list here, and it sets forth the basic purposes for which the government is formed. First, to form a more perfect union. That is, they were recognizing that this unity and the problems that were rampant under the Articles of Confederation needed to be dealt with, and they wanted to form a more perfect union. There was an existing union under the Articles of Confederation. It had many problems, and they wanted to improve on that, form a more perfect union. Secondly, establish justice. And this would mean there'd be a court system, a fair, just court system. And by the way, this, of course, recognizes that there is such a thing as justice. There is a fixed absolute standard, and we know what that standard is. Our founders told us. It's the laws of nature and nature's God, given to us in conscience and reason, but most of all given to us in the Bible. So any law, any form of justice that violates the Bible is not justice at all. It is injustice. It's the exact opposite. So to establish justice, the second purpose. The third purpose was to ensure domestic tranquility. That is, to prevent insurrections that had been threatening, and some actually, even after the Constitution was ratified, some erupted as well. They wanted domestic tranquility. Fourthly, to provide for the common defense. They believed that defense and providing for the defense had been very difficult under the voluntary requisition system of the Articles of Confederation, and that proved to be very true during the War for American Independence, that the troops were ill-supplied with guns, ill-supplied with ammunition and gunpowder and clothing and food, and everything was in short supply. And they recognized that if they were going to defend themselves, and by the way, they needed to defend themselves in a hurry. Wasn't too many years later that England attacked in the War of 1812 and so on. And all the European powers were looking greedily over here at the prosperous American colonies and wanting a piece of it for themselves. And so they recognized that Spain and France and England all were angling, and they would need to defend themselves. And that's one of the biggest reasons they covenanted together for self-defense.
We'll be back in just a moment. So I guess we're out of time, David. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you next month.
God bless, Dr. Stan. Thank you.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Respect and care for our senior citizens should be a prime concern for everyone in our community. It shouldn't matter what season it is. Keep an extra eye open for our seniors and check on them on a regular basis and make sure they have what they need. Help with chores, visit a hospital or a nursing home. Keep hope alive by letting them know someone cares. This message courtesy of the folks who care at Brush Housing Authority, who say our area is a great place to live, work, shop, and raise our families. They're doing their part to keep it that way. That's Brush Housing Authority, 970-482-5046.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan here. I hope you enjoy our sessions with Pastor Whitney. I think it's vitally important you understand our Constitution, because the only way we're going to preserve this nation is, first of all, to have a spiritual revival and then reconstitute the Constitution and have people understand that the power of the central government must be limited, because there are always people who want a dictatorship. And today we have, for all intents and purposes, an authoritarian society. One in every 33 Americans is in prison, probation, or parole. One in every three young black men between 21 and 31 is in prison, probation, or parole. And then you wonder why black people feel that they don't get a fair shake here in the United States. Well, part of that, of course, is because we put fluoride in the water, and it incites rage in blacks, and in the area where they fluoridated the water, much higher incidence of black imprisonment and black crime. Why? Because it increases the level of lead in the water. Actually, there's lead in the hydrofluorosilicic acid that they put into the water fluoridation, and they know what they're doing. But because there's an intense hatred of blacks, for the same reason that AIDS is primarily a disease of black people. One in every 16 black men in the United States will contract HIV during his lifetime. One of every 30 black women. If you want the documentation, we have it from the CDC, but they can't let the American people know that our government, the people, the invisible government, has an intense hatred of blacks, and they're in the process of eliminating them, not only here, but throughout the rest of the world. In Botswana, 46% of the pregnant women are HIV-infected, and they're all going to die. A very successful public health policy financed by your government. Ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with organized evil. And if you doubt it, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you want the documentation for anything I say, oh, we fortunately have the documentation. You need to get it. You need to help us get the truth out. Let me suggest, of course, our DVDs on the secret mysteries of America's beginning, Riddles in Stone, and The Eye of the Phoenix. Those three DVDs will give you the background and documentation you need. And of course, the Eye of the Phoenix tells you about the occult significance of the emblems on the back of the dollar bill. They hide their emblems in plain sight, and they laughed in derision at those of us because we just don't understand. We're also carrying Alex Jones' excellent new DVD, The Obama Deception, The Obama Dissection. Now, these are all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need the information. You need to help us get it out. And, of course, the items, the DVDs, the Secret Mysteries, Riddles in Stone, Eye of the Phoenix, and then, of course, The Obama Deception. course, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you must get it and read it, because you must understand the spiritual forces behind everything going on today. And then my talk on the forbidden secret and the syllabus that goes with that, vitally important if you are to understand what is really going on today. So we do hope, ladies and gentlemen, you go to our website, radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs there. That's radioliberty.com. If you haven't laid in a supply of long-term food, we'll be glad to send you a catalog. Certainly you need to have the things preparing for the very uncertain times that lie ahead. They are planning on plunging America into chaos. How do we know? Why, we've read the plan. If you want a copy of Henry Kissinger's letter that lays it all out, give us a call. If you get any of the other items, we'll send you free of charge. Ask for Henry Kissinger's letter and then pray for America, pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.